Barry Alban Dyer's here. His book is, and it is a, it's a grisly old book, isn't it? Oh, you know, it's just me dad.
It's a grisly young book, but
it's so it's called Don't Drop the Coffin.
I did warn you, Dad.
And there is, yeah, and he says, "Oh, boy, I've had a go at this." He said, "In our glory," but mind you, what they talk about, people buy a book by a leading undertaker, and they say, "Oh, it's a bit grisly."
Yeah,
in what you picked up not quite a mob war, but certainly gangsters. It was a gangster thing.
Well, you know, there's a gangster culture in South London,
yeah.
Certainly, and I would do their funerals, and it's quite amazing how I find that out of their natural environment, in a funeral environment,
yeah.
Where I'm sort of in control,
yeah.
You can lead them anywhere. They're fantastic.
Really?
They won't you know, in their own environment, perhaps I wouldn't want to be there, but
you can lead them anywhere.
Well, what I mean is they'll come to you for everything.
Oh,
I had a particular funeral where the Islamic priest wanted to leave before we had the flowers on the car. It was ridiculous, yeah. You know. And but I said, well, we can't do that. And he said, well, you tell him. I'm not going to tell him.
Have you actually gone to where there's been a hit? Someone's been murdered?
Yeah, many times. Many times. Frightening experience.
Oh, it is a frightening experience. Still, yeah, but it's still thrilling. I mean, there's something about it.
Yeah, well, I said the early days, the first removals we did was for...
Removals?
Well, we call them removals. You see, if somebody dies somewhere, you have to remove them from one place to the other.
I suppose so. Removal, yeah.
Yeah, so we would go out and, I mean, this poor fellow had been shot. Not his own fault at all.
Not his own fault. He wasn't cleaning any yard here, somebody meant it, yeah.
Out of order. But, you know, and we had a police escort, and I was only sort of 12, 13. I was really sort of excited by the whole...
Yeah.
Surrounding of it, and I've tried to tell it. I mean, it's a very sensitive book as well.
It
tells the truth here and there, and the fact is, it can be an awful job.
Oh, absolutely, nothing's undertaken, especially at 12 and 13.
Well,
however, that said, how about when I did the phone in about which job takes a drop more than any other? And your mob walked it. Undertakers take a drop more than priests, more than doctors. Do you have guidelines?
I think we phoned you up and played up to it.
Yes, you did.
We phoned up and made out we were drunk and I'm still on a few. That was
far be it from me to suggest that. What are the guidelines for staff?
Not now. We don't drink at all now. We might have a shandy if it's the last part of the day, but
yeah.
More often it's just an orange juice. But going back years ago, where you're right, in fact, is you used to have short people, mutes, we used to call them.
The mutes?
Yeah, and they used to stand outside to ward off evil spirits, you see. But
yeah.
Everybody that would go in on the morning of the funeral... As I come out, we'd give them a drink, and by the afternoon, they would be all over the place. So that's where
he's a born undertaker's mute. I can see him in his black silk suit, following behind the funeral procession with his features fixed in a suitable expression.
God,
there'll be horses with tall black plumes.
Have you ever sung on a funeral?
I was sung on the stage, if you know. the cryogenics, or as some call it, cryonics. You are the official European outlet for cryonics.
Yeah.
Have you ever done one, frozen somebody?
Yes.
You
have?
Yeah,
absolutely.
How does it work? How do you do that?
Well, I don't know. It hasn't worked yet.
Come to you and say, I want to be frozen?
Yeah, it's a bit more complicated than that.
They
you
can't
have to be.
Be
absolutely sure.
Well,
you have to be registered with
a
non-profit making organisation. No, well, legally dead, yes. I mean,
yeah.
They call themselves patients. I mean,
because they believe one day somebody's going to
put... They're a patient until they're actually revived, and they seriously believe, that once they're frozen down at a temperature where there's no further deterioration of any kind, 196
yeah.
below, then will come the day when technology has the ability to repair what's wrong.
I don't think I'd like that.
Well, I say to them...
I don't think I'd like
to
wake up.
I say to them, you know, who will you know in 100 years' time if you come back? It will be awful. And he said,
100 years? That's given an investment. 2,000 years might have something like that going on.
I don't know. Technology's moving on. But whenever it is, if it is... Why would you want to come back? And he said, well, if I don't like it, I won't stay.
Barry,
it's still my choice.
Where are they stored, these people?
In Michigan, in Detroit, in the cryonics center there.
Wow,
so you're dead. You get frozen.
You're clinically dead and registered. Yes.
Right.
So.
You're frozen, and then they do believe that you can be brought back to life.
They believe that one day they will have the technology to bring you back to life.
And
that technology isn't available.
How did you get into it, Barry? How many people actually took you up on it?
Well, when I first started doing it, there were only maybe 30 odd people in Europe, but now there are hundreds all over Europe. And I become the cryonics agent in Europe because the guy who started all this, Robert Essinger in America, met me at a conference once.
Yeah.
Said, look, you're a fairly forward-thinking guy. Would you consider this? And So I thought very hard about it, but I thought it's the only alternative to burial and cremation that there's ever been since time immemorial. Yeah. And to me, I'm still looking after the dead, so there's not much change.